It's time for Hartley's CAT Scan, a weekly podcast featuring the who's who of your Prince George Cougars.
And welcome to CAT Scan. And Taylor Dakers is the Director of Business Operations and Goalie Coach for the Prince George Cougars. And how was the summer? How did you enjoy it? And were you ready for opening the weekend? Or did it come by just a little too quickly?
I guess if you'd asked me a month prior, I'd say we were going to be ready. And then you asked me 3 days ahead, I'd say, what was I thinking? summer itself was pretty good. We made a pretty conscious effort to get a few things improved. Everybody in this business is always trying to be proactive, and certainly tried to do that as far as season prep. But we also really, wanted to reconnect with our corporate sponsors and improve that side of things with some new staff here over the last year. That was important that we didn't just kind of roll some things over. We really connected and asked our partners what they wanted to see different or if they wanted to make changes. And if they did, that kind of takes time. Through the summer, everybody's not thinking about hockey and taking breaks. So that took time for us. And we have a small office. So the people that are connecting with corporate partners are the same people that are, kind of planning game nights. And we made a change in the office with ticketing and personnel. And, that takes time to kind of get your feedback on that as well. So, we were busy, extremely busy through the summer.
Can you expand upon any changes with ticketing and any other changes that were suggested to you that you have implemented or are about to?
Well, we thought that we had pretty good success last year with our approach to the game night. The fan experience itself we thought was improved, and we've made a couple of additions to that as far as, the side-by-side that Rowdy comes out on, that's much improved. We had a bit of a sketchy quad last year that we were relying on, and, we've upgraded there due to a partner coming on board with that, and that's Pioneer Off-Road Rentals, and they've been really helpful for us in that department. The game night feel from a fan perspective we thought was really good last year, and obviously that gets better as you put more people in the building. We added a few more group experiences, giving more opportunities for kids and groups to kind of not meet our players, but to get a bigger, better sense of what our players are doing. So, we're putting groups on the bench during warm-ups, and they get to hang out and watch the guys get ready for that. And we did our Junior Cougar last year, which had success, and we're doing that again. We're doing a high-five tunnel in the area just behind the bench before they go on the ice for the second and the third. It gives, the kids a chance just to be a part of it, watch these guys get ready to go out on the ice. And birthday parties, we've increased. We now have two fully capable birthday zones, and we've added a third option for kind of a smaller birthday, not as many perks. But we've increased our team on the game night itself. Our game stand host, Jessica, she'll now have a few more people with her to run out and engage with ticket groups or corporate or people that are coming down for intermission games or whatever. Just more interaction, more boots on the ground for game night. So as far as game night goes, that was our direction. And on the ticketing side, we're just trying to still kind of button up all of our systems and make sure nothing's slipping through the cracks.
And prices remain the same for this year, correct?
Prices went up just slightly.
Okay.
5% or so across the board, just kind of like everything else, trying to keep up with the world.
Right. So for opening weekend, 2,800 for the first night, 24 for the second night. Obviously, you know, the Cougars are looking for those numbers to increase. But having said that, it was considerably more than opening weekend last year, where you had 2,500 for the first night and you had 2,000 for the second night. So overall, you know, an increase of 600 fans, maybe a little bit more if you put the two nights together. So how do you look at those numbers? Are you looking, well, we increased it, so we're happy, or we're not quite where we're at, so we have a lot of work to do?
Like when you come from the sports background, right, you're never satisfied, I guess is the right word. And you're not happy with the number that low when it comes to the size of our building and what you know we're capable of. But keep in mind that it's late September and, you know, it was a nice weekend and people are trying to get the most out of their weekends at this time of year. So the increase that we did see, and this goes back to the work that we did in the summer. You know, I talked about the corporate connections and all that, but we also did, you know, put all of our marketing time and budget into, you know, season memberships and getting more people back, you know, committed to us for the season. And we did that. We increased our season memberships by almost 25%. And so that's where you see that bump in the attendance. It wasn't so much people being interested in coming out to a single game in the, you know, September 22nd, 23rd. It was our base. That's the increase that we've seen. Those are people that are, you know, going to be coming to 80 to 100% of our games this year. So
did you increase the, not season tickets, but the packages that you have? You know, there's a lot of different outs. There's a lot of different opportunities for people to purchase tickets for many games, but not necessarily a season ticket. Were you able to increase those at all?
Yeah, those are increased, and those are somewhat hard to track because we're selling those all at different times of the year, right? We might sell, you know, a flex pack, 10 voucher pack, 20 voucher pack. We sell those all throughout. So when we look back at the reports of the year, and it's hard to isolate when we sold the majority of them, but it certainly looks good at this point. Like, I would say that we've sold more now than we did last year. If not, we're very close. And we've created a bit of a different system for that, in that there's a submission process through the website, so we're able to track that a bit more and be able to keep records of it a bit more. Just kind of changing up the business a little bit, and that not so reliant on, you know, a ticketing person in the office to remember everything or put it all on their shoulders. We're trying to, you know, build a system out that's a little more website related, something that we can all access and check on and always come back around to, where it's like a database and nothing's going to slip through the cracks.
What in the off season were the season ticket holders and those that are interested in the team, what were they telling you in terms of what they were looking for, either for improvement or continue to do or new ideas? When they were engaging with you, the public, the season ticket holders with the Cougars, what was the message?
I think the majority was positive. Any negative comments would be sound related, to be honest. It's the number one discrepancy between fans and demographics is how noisy it is, you know, when you're trying to build out a energetic environment and you're pumping music and you're pumping sound effects and you've got Jess on the mic as the in-stand host. You're looking for energy all the time. And when you've got a building with 4,000 to 6,000 people in it, you know, that all that is just a nice buzz. But when you get anything under 4,000, it can be hit or miss on the way that sound and that energy hits. And, you know, it's a tough balance for us to nail all the time. We don't know if we're going to be able to make everybody happy. But as far as game-to-game complaints or feedback goes, that would be the number one negative. There's some you know, the game nights, the way that we celebrate themes and the way we celebrate different, what would you call it? The way we celebrate different groups and people in town here. I think for the most part, it was pretty successful last year. You know, we call them our feature nights, or we have for the past few years. I thought they were pretty good. I thought we had some really good partners on board. I thought we did some nice things with our theme jerseys. And for the most part, the energy seemed mostly positive. You know, everybody wants more people in the building, which we were able to do last year. And they want to be able to get here and enjoy themselves and feel safe and, you know, energetic and get behind the team, which I think we did. And they want to connect more with the players and learn more about their backgrounds and kind of connect what they see on the ice to the people that are, you know, putting the gear on. And we're constantly trying to do that, and there's always room to improve on that. That's always a tough balance. We're trying to, you know, continue with the community outreach with, you know, barbecues here. We did one in Quesnel, and we'll probably make a visit to Vanderhoof again, and that's always on our mind. And then the one major component of our game night, which came up a number of times with you last year, is the concessions, right, at the building here. And as I mentioned last year, there's a, we'll call it a new management company doing the concessions at the CN Center. It's not a new company in that they moved the way that they're running their business. They moved it into a different arm of their overall corporate company. So it used to be referred to as Eurest, and now it's Levy. And Levy is more of a sports facility-minded arm of their business. So they've definitely made improvements to their systems. They've got more staff than they did last year. You know, we haven't been able to test out the capacity to this point with Cougars games, but, you know, they're definitely moving in the right direction. So right. Fingers crossed that that's improved as well.
Yeah, I think you mentioned last year that the Cougars really didn't have much of a say with the concessions. You maybe took the complaints, but it really was not on your shoulders, correct?
Correct. You know, we're just attendant here, and we work well. We try to work well with the city and the other tenants, mainly Eurest and our Levy now. And, you know, everybody has feedback and constructive criticisms or whatever. We just try to work as a team to get the most enjoyable experience for everybody attending, whether it's Cougars games or even concerts and events. So, you know, they're always looking to improve and help where you can. But at the end of the day, the Cougars really don't have any operational impact whatsoever. And saying that, we also don't, you know, receive any benefits to increased sales of the concessions either.
As a business, do you have a goal for what the average amount of fans will be at a game, especially with many predicting that the Cougars to be in first place in the BC division or challenge for first place with the roster that they have? In other words, attendance should be picking up as the season gets on, we get into the winter, and the games become maybe in some people's eyes a little bit more meaningful, and we approach playoffs and everything like that. Do you guys have a target in mind as to what you think a realistic figure is for attendance, or you just let that just sort of happen?
Me personally, I don't usually set targets like that, because I just tend to put my head down and keep making the improvements to get more. You know, we, at the end of the year last year, with playoffs included, you know, we settled in just under 3,000 per game. You know, it's, the goal would be to improve that by, you know, at least 20%, 30%, depending on the position of our team and the kind of buzz that we can generate. You know, the hockey and the success there is going to be the biggest factor. The team on the ice, and then the other factor is going to be us here in the office, just, you know, constantly giving reasons for people to come and enjoy themselves. So anything up there, 35, 4,000, 4,500, like, obviously the higher guest, the better. I don't, I'm not going to put a cap on it. It's just the more people we get, the better it is, and the more people want to come back. So hopefully we can catch some of that momentum and keep going all the way through.
You've been in this particular job for just over a year. Now, you've also been the goaltending coach, which we're going to get to in a little bit, you know, for a longer period. But from the business side, you've been fully engaged for just over a year in this job. What do you know now that you did not know a year ago? And how much bigger of a job is this than you thought it was going to be?
Well, the part that we're not talking about right now is the fact that I also run the box office. And so that is itself quite a large job. When I took the role on, we'd had a box office manager that had been around for 4 or 5 years, and things ran very smoothly. And in time, she decided it wasn't a good fit for her. So her assistant took over, and then she as well decided to move on. And so it's been a long runway of retraining and refiguring out how that box office runs efficiently. So that combined with this role over here with the Cougars, it's been a lot. There's no doubt. I can't really quantify how much more it's been than what I expected. It's been rewarding, that's for sure. Getting staff in place, and we're constantly looking to improve the staff or, you know, give the staff better resources. But I'm not really a bold, like, decision maker. I tend to crawl my way through things. So see one change, see how it goes, and make another and see how that goes. And so the box office is coming along. We've got some really dedicated staff in there. Like I mentioned, we made an adjustment to our ticketing department here, and I think there may be another addition coming in that department. Our game night staff is really great. Our corporate partnership, corporate sponsorship staff is really great. And it's been awesome. It's been a lot of hours, that's for sure. And then you go look at the hockey side and, you know, everything that I can do to free up space in my schedule to get back on the ice and help with the goalies is beneficial. So the hours don't ever go down. They just shift around. I got to manage them. So
I don't know if there's a business card big enough for all your titles. Now, you're director of business operations. You're the goalie coach. You're in charge of the box office. So being in charge of the box office, what does that mean? Try to enlighten us as to that particular job.
Every event that comes through the CN Center, the PG Playhouse, the Vanier Hall, we're currently helping with the Knox Performance Center. That goes through the box office currently. We sell Kodiak's tickets. So basically, we've got a ticketing platform that, you know, manages and tracks tickets, and so I'm able to purchase it online. You're able to see a fancy seat map where you can choose your seat, and that's our full service for actual putting tickets online. We're able to deliver them mobily. We're able to print them out. We're able to mail them to you. We're able to send them to your email. We're able to do season tickets. We're able to do whatever. And we're able to market, we're able to email our email base, you know, which would be probably the biggest, you know, entertainment email base in Northern BC. And so we have access to a large chunk of the population that way. And so that all goes basically through me as well. So, you know, the city might, you know, bring in Brian Adams, and then that, you know, say, oh, hey, we're bringing Brian Adams in, and the contracts get written and the fees all get decided, and somebody starts promoting it and they want to build the show a certain way, and we build the show and build the seats and show, put it online and start selling tickets and manage it all the way through until show sells out and we settle it up with Brian and his promotion team right after.
So basically, on the business side and the box office side, if you combine them, how many people are working for you or are you in charge of?
Day to day. The box office is small staff too, so day to day you're probably between 12 and 15.
That's
game
combined.
Nights, we get
that's
much,
combined.
Much more people.
Yeah. We're speaking with Taylor Dakers with the Prince George Cougars. Now, we've been talking a lot on the business side and also the box office side. Now, let's take for a moment the goalie coach side. Now, you've said earlier, obviously, with your time, you know, being adjusted in other areas, you do not have as much time to spend with the goalies as you have in the past. As a matter of fact, can you sort of give us a comparison as to how much you're able to do now compared to before?
Before I took on this role, I was physically available all the time. I was in the office with the coaches, and the goalies had access to me, at their fingertips. And now I'm still available all the time. I just need a little bit more scheduling. so I'm not available at that moment. Going on the ice, that was, every day before. And now we're down to, 1 to 3 times a week, depending on what's going on. Last year being the first year in this role was a huge challenge, huge time management challenge, especially with the turnover and staff. It just felt like every lost minute in the office, was really going to hurt us. And I've probably taken a step on that, and I can take a few more. This year, specifically with the new goaltenders, with Brennan really not in the picture at this time, and Younger being our guy, I trust Younger, but there's going to be some mental stuff that he's going to have to work through and that he's going to need some assistance on. And just going to be a young guy that's going to be next to him, and he's going to need help with everything. And so there's going to need to be more time dedicated to them and development than there was last year. So I'll do what I have to do to make that happen. And compared to before, there's some things that'll be the same and some things that will, just the amount of video that I'm able to do and dig into is probably a big decrease. Really streamline that. And, last year I didn't really get on the road that much, and this year I'll try to do that as well, just a little bit more. Probably not all the road trips, but I would like to get out there a little bit more. Sometimes that's nice to get on the road and connect. You have more downtime on the road, and so you're able to do more video. You're able to talk more and just kind of connect with these guys and see where they're at with their headspace. So I'll try to do that too.
Ty Young, 3-year entry-level contract to the Vancouver Canucks. What does that really mean, entry-level contract with an NHL team?
Well, they have him for 3 years now. They have his rights. They have his future for the next 3 years. So for them, NHL teams are only able to sign so many contracts per year, so they have to kind of map out what positions they're solidifying in their pipeline. And, they look at their contract expiries. I think they just signed DeSmith, however many years. Who do you have at the A right now? Who's coming up? Who do they want to re-sign? They kind of plan that out, and they say, okay, well, we could use another goalie up and coming in our system that we know we'll have. And so they sign Younger. And on Younger's side, that means – he comes back here for the season. Season's over. He joins Vancouver. Let's say Vancouver's AHL team is in the playoffs. Well, he gets to go jump up with them. And maybe he plays or maybe he just hangs around. But they'll decide what's best for his development from now until the end of his 3-year contract. And then when he's going to training camp next year, just like Brennan this year, Brennan didn't come to our training camp this year. His mind was fully on the New Jersey Devils and making the best impression he could on them. So Younger might do the same thing next year. Or Vancouver might say, no, it's best if you go back to junior camp and then, we'll figure it out from there. So they, Vancouver, the team that signs them, really has much more of a management or much more decision-making ability now that they've signed him and they've committed to him. And obviously there's a financial component to that too, where Younger is now, he's a certified professional athlete. He's got a contract to prove it.
Right. And there is money that comes with signing that contract, correct?
Yep. There is, for sure. Different contracts, you know, stipulate different things. You know, if a guy plays in junior, you know, maybe the contract doesn't fully activate or whatever. It's not my expertise in that area, but he is now a paid professional athlete.
But they would not get like a minimum salary of an NHL player or anything like that until they actually make the NHL team. That's sort of
right.
The way it works, correct?
Exactly. So the way entry-level contracts work is there's kind of a maximum that a player is allowed to make at each level. So the contract would include an NHL payment. So if he, let's just say Tae Young made the NHL this year, or he makes it next year, he makes it the third year of his contract, there's going to be a number that says he makes this much money. And I think that's, I actually really haven't looked into it, but I think it's, you know, in the high $800,000-$900,000, something like that for a salary.
I was thinking $850,000-$875,000. So I think we're on the same page there.
Yeah. So that's like a max, right?
Yeah.
Say, well, okay, he'll make this if he plays in the NHL. And if he plays in the NHL for a week or 10 days, he gets called up. He just gets that salary broken up into daily increments. Mm-hmm. If he plays in the AHL, it's the same thing. He's got a dedicated salary that says you make this much. And then there could be another component that says, like, in year one, if you go back to junior, you make this much. I don't know. I don't know contracts. I know that when I signed, that's what I had. But I don't know if it's still the same thing.
Right. So there's
a signing bonus in there, and that gets paid out every year for the three-year contract.
My guess is it probably wouldn't be a lot of money, though, correct?
Well, it's enough. It depends who you talk to, I guess.
Right. Do you have any idea what those – I'm not talking about Tae Young specifically, but anybody, like, do you have any idea what a three-year entry-level deal – a guy would get if, let's just say, you know, he's with the organization for 3 years but doesn't get to the NHL level?
Well, that's public information. You know, I feel a little weird talking about it. But if a guy wants to learn those types of things, there's a cool website called capfriendly.com.
Mm-hmm.
And that breaks down pretty much every single pro NHL player's contract. Every contract that gets signed, it tells you what it is.
All right. Well, that's very good to know. Okay, so, Ty is back. Obviously, you're number one guy. We're not counting, the Cougars are not counting on Brennan being part of things. And maybe if he could be trade bait, I imagine, if somebody was interested and there's a possibility of him coming back. But that's so far down the road. Right now, the Cougars aren't thinking of Brennan, just like they're not thinking about Samson. If one of them becomes available, then their thought process will change, correct?
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay, so yeah. I want to talk about the other guys. Obviously, Josh Ravensbergen. I have to admit, I was very impressed, not just with the shutout. Maybe in the second game there's a goal or two that he would have liked to have back, but he was very impressive as a whole for those two games, the win and the loss. I have to be honest, I didn't know a lot about him. I know he played Major Midget last year, but he wasn't drafted. He's 6'4". I know the Cougars just signed him. I talked to Mark Lamb a little bit about him, but how are you able to get him? Because he looks like, 17 with his size, the way he moves. You got somebody there.
Yeah, those are all good questions, Harley, and I'm sure you'll sit down with Bob Simmons at some point, and he'll love to tell you all about that. The head scout, director of scouting for the Cougars. I don't know. I don't know how he got him. I don't know what the deal is. I think COVID had a big factor in that. I think that a lot of guys were in situations where maybe they just didn't get seen or noticed or whatever it was, you know, the way COVID just kind of shut everything down. And we were fortunate enough to get him I think, to our training camp that year, and he came in as a complete unknown as an invite. And I believe, if I'm right, I think there was a connection with the former goalie coach here, Sean Murray.
Right.
He's in Vancouver, and so he still has a connection with Bob. And I think he might have said something like, "Hey, you got to look at this kid. Like, he's a good goalie, he's a good kid, etc." And so we brought him to camp, and yeah, he was great. I think he was 14 or 15 at the time, but yeah, he was great. So I think we signed him or listed him at the time, said, okay, well, probably has a good chance at a future. And then last year, he was like the best goalie in that U18 program in BC. Like, everybody that had talked to me or anybody in our organization was like, you guys have that Ravensburg, and like, wow, good for you. Because he shot up, he grew 3 inches or whatever. He's 6'4" now, and he's mobile and he's focused and he's just a great kid, great athlete, and he's committed. And we signed him and put him at kind of fourth on the depth chart between Brennan Young and Mulaka and him. And he put his head down. He came into camp and basically he did what you want every young player to do, in that you really have no choice but to play him. Like, he earned everything he got, and we put him in the net for game one, and he was great. He backed everything up. I went and talked to him right before the game, and he was a pretty typical rookie kid. Like, looked like he was ready to pack it in, like nervous, and just looked it, right? But when he got in that net, you didn't notice it at all.
Like, I didn't see any nerves.
He did everything great, right?
Yeah. Sure, didn't see any. So when a goalie's 6'4", now he's not. He wasn't 6'4" at the time of the draft. But how is he not picked? Like, there's all these teams. There, all these scouts are looking. Is he just a late bloomer? Is that how you would attribute this to?
I don't know. Yeah. Like, he wouldn't have been 6'4", like you said. But maybe he was 6 feet. He wasn't small, that's for sure. But I don't know. Maybe he didn't play on the right team, or maybe COVID really just didn't give an opportunity to get in front of scouts at all. Like, I think during COVID, if I can remember it, there was, if you're playing minor hockey, I think you were more hit hard than if you were playing in an academy. I think those academies found a way to get out and still play some hockey and get in front of some scouts. But I think those minor hockey teams, North Van and Vancouver and Langley and everybody that's not an academy, I think that they just didn't get the opportunity to get in front just due to whatever the restrictions were. So that's as good as I can remember. I probably try to block out as much of that COVID time as possible, but either he didn't get noticed to get drafted, or it's just one of those things that we got to him first. We're very fortunate.
You obviously know way more about goaltending than I will ever know, or even remotely know. But just watching his demeanor in those first two games, even the games where he's given up goals. I mean, it's one thing when things are going your way and you're winning 9-0 and all that kind of stuff. But I saw his compete battle in that 6-4 loss. He gave up 5 goals. Last one was empty net. His movement was still good from side to side. There were still a lot of good things that happened there. So from a non-trained eye, he looks really good. What about from your trained eye? Do you see, there's a lot you have to work with there, or is it just fine-tune?
Well, there's a great base there. Absolutely. Like, all the things you mentioned are components to a goalie that you want or need to see for success at this level. Size isn't one of those things, but he has it. There's plenty of goalies in our level that are 5'11", 6 feet that have success for their junior team, but the size really puts him into the eyes of NHL teams and creates a wide open opportunity for, 20 next 20 years for him to do something in hockey. But he's got the compete, and he's got the composure, and he's got the intelligence, and all those things that I can work with very well to make him an extremely valuable asset for the Cougars. It's not rocket science per se. Once you get into the league as a backup, you're really just trying to catch up physically. The puck tracking, the speed of the shots, the awareness of the plays and how things are happening and the way the guys can get pucks on net and one-time them and the big bodies in front and the traffic and the strength it takes to go through a full game and make saves when it counts and et cetera, et cetera. And that works itself out through the year. And then as a rookie, you get homesick and you kind of, maybe you don't play for a long time and you kind of start to second guess what you're doing. And that's just the grind of being a rookie. But then you get into a position to be a starter. And that's always, always the biggest challenge. Every goalie that's a backup is looking at that net and just thinking, like, I can be the starter. Just put me in there. I'll start and I'll be great. And it's not easy. But you get in there and you're fine and then you're bad and then you're great and then you're high on yourself and then you're low because you let in 6 goals and then the team's mad at you and you think the team's mad. It's just a whole whirlwind of emotions and confidence is up and down and physical aspect. You play back-to-back on a Friday, Saturday and you got to jump on the bus and you got all this stuff you got to do to take care of your body. It's a grind. So he's got the tools right now to be in a position to learn how to handle all of those different factors. And it's impossible to say, to what level he'll be able to handle them. But he definitely has a great tool set.
You also had another pretty good 17-year-old prospect in net in Madden Malacca. And last year as a 16-year-old, he was impressive as well when he had a couple of chances there. But with Ty Young back, you know, realistically, you're not going to be able to carry 3.
No, nobody ever really wants to carry 3. I've been in a number of situations myself as a goalie and as a coach with 3. And Madden's been great. He's come in, he's worked, and he's put himself in a position to be in the mix for us. And he still is right now. Junior hockey, there's lots of changes. There's injuries, there's trades, there's openings. There's just different things that happen. Guys drop off and guys step up. And, tomorrow or after this weekend, we could be saying something totally different about the goalie scenario. But Madden's here and we're developing him. And he's been committed and we're committed to him. And we're going to make sure that he has the best opportunity to be a Western Hockey League goalie. Yes, Ravensbergen has come in and he's taking a bit of the spotlight right now. And good for him. He doesn't, no discredit to him. But Malacca, was in the same boat last year where he came in game 1 and he was great. And then game 2, whether the team wasn't there to support him so much or he wasn't quite as sharp. Probably memory serves kind of very similar to this last weekend. So, it's a battle of attrition sometimes. You just keep showing up and keep putting in the work and wait for your breaks. And when your break happens, you're ready to take it. And for him, that's going to be an option because he's a great kid and he's a great goalie. And he's just got to continue to put himself in a position to take advantage of an opportunity.
And I guess on the depth chart, the way things are, though, Ty Young right now would be penciled in to play approximately, and I'm using this very roughly, 2/3 of the games because that's what you want your starter to do, correct?
Yeah. For sure. Ty Young's the reason why Ty Young just signed a contract is because he is one of the most prepared, one of the best day-to-day athletes as far as the way he takes care of himself. He's dedicated. He's committed to the craft. And so he, if probably given the opportunity, he'd probably play 66 of the remaining 66 games, but we'll have to put a bit of a rein on them and we'll see. I mean, we got a few 3-and-3s down in the States that we're never going to put a goalie in that position, but he'll play. There's no doubt he'll play. And we'll just have to keep an eye on it. But two-thirds to three-quarters would probably be a reasonable expectation for him. And then depending on where we sit in the standings, right? I mean, sometimes you got to push. Sometimes you got to put your best lineup on. And you never want to, you know, put a guy in a tough position. But as far as Taillon goes, I think he wants to play. And he'll do what he has to do to be in the best condition to play. So,
Taylor, I've already kept you a little bit longer than I said I would, but before we leave this particular podcast, I do want to give you an opportunity to maybe mention some of the upcoming promotions or big games in terms of feature games that you want to mention a chance to tell the Cougar fans about.
Well, yes. Don't want to steal anybody's thunder, because we actually have an announcement coming tomorrow, but we will be repeating a few of our staples that are going to be, we'll say, improved, or we have more people involved that are going to make it even better. You know, Community Heroes is coming up. That's a massive weekend for us, and there's a lot of people that are excited about that one. More details are going to be announced about that tomorrow. And that, you know, that includes the typical components of that weekend, similar to last year. But there's lots of details coming out about that tomorrow. Get into November, and we've got McDonald's on board. They're going to be doing another big game night for us. In the past, they've done Disneyland giveaway. And they've done I think last year they did a $5,000 shoot to win. So they'll do something big. Not going to say what they've decided on quite yet, but they'll be doing something big in late November, and then Teddy Bear Toss in December. Yeah, that's about all I got on the docket right now for the next 2 or 3 months. But within that, there's a bunch of other games, you know, that are going to, they're going to be full of attention. There's the game that October 22nd. That's the second game on the Community Heroes weekend. That's Medicine Hat. So as far as players coming into town, prospects coming into town, that's been circled by a bunch of people. There's a kid named Gavin McKenna on the Tigers that was brought up last year. I think he's maybe Connor Bedard's cousin, more or less, something along those lines. But apparently he's the Connor Bedard of this year. So as far as people coming out to watch a visiting team's player, I think that's the one that's going to get the most buzz. And if that's the case, if people do want to come and watch that kid play, I suggest getting on tickets to that October 22nd game pretty quick, because I think that's going to be a pretty busy game for us.
Yeah, that's a Sunday, 5 o'clock, isn't it?
That's right.
Yeah. So Sundays have gone from 2 to 5. Was there any reason for that?
The only reason for that one is because we play Saturday night against Kamloops.
Right.
And so typically if we're going to play, like last year, we played Vancouver Saturday night at 6, and then we played them at 2 the next day, because both teams are in the exact same boat. But in this case, Medicine Hat is actually here on Saturday night, waiting for us,
right?
And so we're playing Kamloops, and then the next day we're playing a team that actually didn't play the night before. So we wanted to bump that back to give us an additional 3 hours of rest time.
Makes sense. Appreciate your time. We'll have you on again later in the season. All the best. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Charlie. We'll talk to you later.
Taylor Dakers is the director of business operations, the Goldie coach. He's also responsible for the box office, a lot of titles with the Prince George Cougars. And you've been listening to CatScan.